Heavenly Father, Holy God, we come before you, we bow down in our hearts, knowing that your thoughts are so different than ours, and your ways are higher than ours. Lord, you know our frame, that we're nothing but dust, but you're the good God. You call us and you draw us into communion. Give us your mind on all things. We thank you for our church, as Pastor Steve so beautifully said. Thank you, Lord, for the purpose of a local church, of an assembly of brothers and sisters in the faith. We pray for our nation. We pray for former President Trump, for his health, Lord, and his full recovery. We need you as a nation, Lord. And this world is so needy. We look to you, Jesus Christ, the true desire of all nations, whether or not they know it. Lead us, Lord, with your thoughts. Lead us into your truth more and more, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll read verse 14. So let's learn this like a camp life memory verse, right? Okay, 6:14. So I'll say it in little bits, and we can repeat it together. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Now I'll read the whole thing and we'll all repeat it together. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Here we go.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
One last time.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law,
but under grace. The grace of God. How many of us in this room this morning, we acknowledge that we really need the grace of God? I do. Genesis chapter 6 is the first time we see grace mentioned in the Bible. In verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The next verse, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man." But in verse 8, here comes the grace of God. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I enjoyed this definition of grace that I read while I was preparing some thoughts. God's actions toward men are not motivated by man's essential goodness, but rather by the nature and character of God himself. This grace is the demonstration of blessing toward another simply on the basis of the need of the other. It is help or benevolence motivated by compassion alone. I'm going to read it one more time. God's actions towards men are not motivated by man's essential goodness, but rather by the nature and character of God himself. This grace is the demonstration of blessing toward another simply on the basis of the need of the other. It is help or benevolence motivated by compassion alone. When I read the word compassion, it brought to mind Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Therefore, I hope in him. This Hebrew word for grace, this grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord, is, it's kind of pronounced like hen, female chicken. But you need to have a little bit of phlegm. It's like hen, right? Like you're washing, you're trying to fog up your windows. Hen. Let's try it. 1, 2, 3. Hen. That was really good. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just like Abraham, Noah believed God. And in believing, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, despite the violence and the evil of his generation. Thinking of the grace of Jesus Christ, John 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This grace in the New Testament is the word Charistos. I'm not sure if you need a little phlegm to say that one. Charistos. It's a gift, a blessing. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of the same chapter, we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace, Charistos, a gift, and truth. These are never separated one from the other, grace and truth. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, remember when Jesus Christ opened the scroll in the synagogue and he read those convicting words from the prophet Isaiah? And it says that the people who were looking on marveled. They wondered at the gracious words which came out of his mouth. I was wondering, was it the words themselves? Was it the speaker? Was it the manner of the speaker speaking, speaking the words? Or was it all of the above? How amazing it must have been to be in that room and to hear the word of God read by the living word. We would call that a sanctified moment. We would call that anointed. It was set apart. And they sensed that the words were not only words, some type of holy admonition, but there was grace in these words. These words were beyond warning, beyond prophecy. There was compassion, there was grace infused in these words as Jesus Christ read those words of Isaiah. Grace is what we're saved by. Many have learned this verse. I'm going to read it. I love it. It's been a huge part of my life ever since I came to know Christ at the age of 14. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, meaning it does not come from you. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. lest anyone should boast. Grace is increased where sin is increased, according to Romans chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. What kind of grace? The grace of God. But in one sense, I was thinking about that grace that is increased when sin is increased. Isn't it grace to repent? Isn't it grace to believe? Grace for eyes to be opened. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And this grace is calling us and calling all those who will listen to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and beyond the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to come to a realization of who God is, to reverence His holiness, and to know Him, to delight in knowing Him. One could mistakenly conclude, as Paul states, I'm not saying Paul was mistaken, but Paul is giving an argument that some could have in verse 1 of the next chapter, chapter 6, that if we were to continue in sin, grace would increase. Let's read it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I think the King James says, God forbid, right? Let's all say, God forbid. But with a little dramatic emphasis. One, two, three. God forbid. My New King James says, certainly not. Let's try that. One, two, three. Certainly not. And we could also interpret that as no way. No way. All right? So let's try that one. One, two, three. No way. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And you can say any of those three now.
No way.
No way. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Meaning it no longer works. Why? Because we have been pronounced by the Lord, because of His death on the cross, because of that sacrifice, because of that blood, as dead to sin. It no longer works. Verse 2, once again, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? It is no longer legitimate for the believer in Christ to live in sin. It doesn't work. It's like putting a goldfish in your saltwater aquarium. It's not going to go well. It's like putting the metal bowl in the microwave. It doesn't work anymore. The sparks fly. It's a disaster. Because the Bible's very clear that we have died to sin. Our new life is derived from Christ. Our new life is derived from Christ. And that's why Romans 1:14 that we read at the very beginning says, for sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I remember times in the first few years after my salvation, just thinking that maybe the more I learned or the more experience I had in walking with God, things would just kind of, sinful thoughts, sinful desires would just kind of go away. Almost like it was an accumulation that mattered. Maybe once I reached a tipping point, things would kind of fall off the edge. But I remember at one point in Bible college just discovering that Calvary wasn't only for my salvation, but Calvary was also for my daily victory. It reminds me of a poem. It's an Amy Carmichael poem where she says, "O love of God, do this for me. Maintain a constant victory. O love of God, do this for me. Maintain a constant victory. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Grace enables us to shake off the mastery of sin. Grace enables us to shake off the mastery of sin." We have this little kitten who's kind of out of control. It's Ruthie and Pasha's fault. They gave it to us. But I love you. And she's getting bigger now. And sometimes she'll be on the couch and she's waiting for someone to walk by. And she jumps in the air and just will, like, you know, she'll like hang, you know, from our arm or something. Oh, we shake her off, but always towards the couch for you animal lovers. Grace enables us to shake off the mastery of sin. She's really cute. Her name is Rosie. If you want more details, we can talk after church. Titus 2 and verse 11. The grace of God, I love this one, Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. So if you're a student, you know, if you're in high school, middle school, elementary school, kindergarten, someone says, "What's your teacher's name?" You could legitimately say, "Grace." Yeah. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Grace is our teacher. And in Romans 5, verse 2, it's what we stand in. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 2, "by whom also we have access," so it's a doorway, "into this grace." We have access by faith, faith in Jesus, into this grace in which we stand. And that's, I find that very beautiful, that we are in grace. If you're in something, you're in it. You're safe. You're not getting out. Like, grace is an access. Excuse me. Faith is access. Belief is access into the grace of God. And it's in grace that we stand. It's our beautiful default. It's our default. We always, as believers in Jesus Christ, land in grace. We always stand in grace. We might forget grace, not appreciate grace. We might be familiar with grace, but regardless, we are standing in the grace of God. Just like in Colossians 3, where it says that we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are in Christ. We're in grace, safe in Jesus Christ. This morning, Pastor Barry talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't mean to go back to animals, but we have a dog that is lacking, in my observation, very human observation, one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the last one. Temperance. He chases cars. He can't control himself. But what are the others? Love, joy, peace, right? Long suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, temperance. What was that, Mike? Obedience? It's not on the list, but it's kind of along the same vein. Yeah. Number 2, the joy of the Lord. Pastor Barry spoke about it this morning. It really built me up. I took some good notes, and I was really blessed at, in the same way that grace is so not of us and comes from God, true joy, as opposed to happiness, comes from God himself. He is the giver of joy. And I've been built up by a passage in Psalm 5 that I'd like to read. It's toward the very end of the psalm, verses 11 and 12. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. How about a shout? One, two, three. Can we try it again? One, two, three. That was way better. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. If God is for us, Romans 8, who can be against us? Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a result of walking by the Spirit. It doesn't mean necessarily a goofy grimace all day long. Joy can be inner. We have a variety of ways we express ourselves. And it's not something to lord over another person. Why aren't you happy today? You know, something like that. You know, God's on the throne. What's your problem, brother? We don't want to go there. But joy should be a result, a fruit to be picked, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I had a roommate in Bible school, and I used to ask him, how you doing? And he used to always say, fine. And then there'd be a pause, and then he'd say, by faith. I always loved that. Oh, I loved it. Fine. By faith. Yeah, he was learning to walk by faith. It was awesome. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. And Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, yeah, that's a lot of joy. That's a lot of rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And it's so beautiful because this joy has absolutely nothing to do with us, with our performance, with our conditions. This joy has to do with our God, who is joy. He is grace. It's not something we have to drum up. There's nothing worse than trying to fake joy. You know when the person's smiling, but the rest of the face is like saying the opposite? It's like, huh? Oh, it's horrible. There are times when... I have sensed that disquieted spirit, like in Psalm 42, oh my soul, why are you cast down and why are you disquiet in me? And I've just on purpose spent some time with God, taken a walk, decided to keep myself in the love of God, to rehearse truth in my mind, and I've seen my joy return. I think many of us can say that same testimony. After a time with God, we sense we are different because now we are aligned with the mind of God. And the circumstances that had upset us shortly before are no longer the focus. The focus is now communion. It's fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. John 15 and verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be, anyone remember? That your joy may be full. This is amazing. It's not like almost joy or some joy or I'm almost there. But in walking in the Spirit, in a sense, the faucet is turned on. And the joy didn't come from our own effort. It's not something we made happen. But the joy comes from God. And then we can shout for joy, acknowledging that he does and he has defended us. And he will. Pastor Barry focused somewhat on Psalm 16 in the 9 a.m. service. Towards the end, I love it. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, it's the same thought here, is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are eternal pleasures thereof. You will show me fullness of joy. What a word, fullness. It goes along with the filling of the Spirit. Ah, I love being full. Does anyone like being full? Good meal. We could go on and on and on. Yeah, why don't you tell your neighbor what if you could have anything for lunch today, what would that be? Pastor Barry said these thoughts in the last service that really blessed me, and I just want to read them. Happiness can be switched on and off, but joy is constant. I really liked that. Happiness can be switched on and off. Joy is constant. My joy comes from being hidden in him rather than being the master of my own happiness. My joy comes from being hidden in him rather than being the master of my own happiness. He also said we can be part of something that's so much greater than we could ever imagine. And that something is the living God. What an amazing thought. That something is the living God. A friend of mine encouraged me with some thoughts from 1 Kings chapter 8 this week when the temple was being dedicated, and Solomon was amazed that he who created the heavens of heavens and the galaxies would dwell among men. And we can say something similar as believers. The living God, creator of the universe, who has not only been in history as Jesus Christ, the living Word, but the creator of history. We can find communion with this living God and alignment. And we can have, this is crazy, but it's true. We can have God's very mind in a situation if we are willing to humble ourselves. We can have God's very mind. And God's mind is the mind of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Our joy comes from who he actually is. And the source of this joy is divine grace. The source of this joy is grace. Imagine if grace didn't exist and our whole life were a works program to try to please the living God. Would church be a joyful experience? I think it would be very different. I think it would be extremely different. It would not be an appealing thing. It wouldn't be, I don't think I would want to evangelize. I don't think I would want to share my faith. Maybe if I had to, I'd, you know, give someone something, but I wouldn't want to. But thank God for grace. Grace produces joy. When we're established in the grace of God, our words are different. Our words are different. Yeah. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Our words, full of grace, seasoned with salt. Speaking of Pastor Barry, I used to work for his dad. I mentioned it maybe a week or two ago in the student union when I was in Bible college. And when anything went wrong, he would always say, "It's a beautiful thing." I always loved his way of just like shrugging off the problem. He'd say, "It's a beautiful thing." He was amazing. Danny Quirk. Let's thank God for his matchless grace. Lord, You are gracious. And we are amazed, despite our fallen state, despite our infirmity, the infirmity of our flesh, Lord, despite our constant wanderings and our iniquity, because of compassion, you have chosen to bestow this matchless gift upon us, this grace. Lord, you've anointed us with grace. Thank you, Lord, for this seal setting us apart, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the redemption through your blood. All because of this compassion. Lord, build us up in your grace. Help us to understand it. To not run from it, but to run towards it. And in this grace, may we find trust, belief, reverence, a desire to know you as never before. And Lord, thank you for your joy. Teach us to build ourselves up in this most holy faith. Thank you, Lord, that the joy is not only half there, but it's full, fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you so much for this assembly. Thank you for every precious person, Lord, every heart. We pray especially for Carmen, for Tracy, as Danny is now face to face with Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, we pray for comfort, for practical help, but more than anything, Lord, we just pray for your sweet presence to meet them right where they are, God. We pray for Danny's brother, Lord. Thank you, Father. If there's anyone here, if you are not 100% sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, I invite you to say these words to receive this gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross on my behalf. I know that I am a sinner. I know I could not attain heaven by my own goodness. So I accept your free gift of salvation. Cleanse my heart. Forgive my sin. I want to be in your family. If you've said that prayer, I invite you to raise your hand. One of our ushers will bring you some literature. Just feel free to raise your hand and put it back down. And if you don't raise your hand, tell someone. Tell someone that you have received the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.